Welcome to the Successful Farming Daily Podcast for this Wednesday, April 24th. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. These quick and informative episodes cover the commodity markets, weather, and the big things happening in agriculture each morning, just what you need to start your day. This podcast is brought to you by John Deere. Whether you're looking to buy new or simply upgrade your equipment with new technology, see your local John Deere dealer for what's best for your farm. While the gains seemed a bit harder to come by yesterday for corn and soybeans, it was still a decent day from a performance standpoint, as both were to fight off selling pressure throughout the day. Wheat struggled a bit before short covering returned, sending all three markets higher. Some analysts are saying that we're seeing a significant unwinding of money flow in a variety of trades from the stock market to metals and energies and just about everything in between. Part of that unwind is said to be lifting some of the short positions that we've seen built over the last several months in wheat, corn, and across the soybean complex. Wheat has been the biggest beneficiary of fund covering so far, with an analyst from StoneX estimating upwards of 20% of the fund's short position in wheat has been covered over the last few days. From a seasonal standpoint, funds are far more aggressive with their short positioning than what we would typically see, with thoughts that they would have to buy another large portion of their wheat shorts back just to get them in line with where they would typically be positioned as we head into the summer months. The short in corn is the second largest on record for this time of the year, with the soybean short the largest for this week in April and sitting close to the previous record. According to Friar's report, in years where funds were short coming into the growing season, we saw them cover every year by the start of harvest. If this is truly the start of a major unwind, the timing could be especially interesting as we find ourselves somewhat out of natural sellers. There are plentiful supplies around the world, with growers sitting on significant length, but when it comes to marketing for many, their head is elsewhere. Brazil soybean premiums at ports are on the rise again as aggressive buying from crushers is keeping beans in the interior. The price spread between the U.S. and Brazil into China has dropped to around 50 cents. While Brazilian supplies are still clearly much cheaper, to see that spread come together by over $1.10 since the end of January is a head-scratcher for many, especially considering that it happened during harvest. Beans do continue to flow into China, limiting demand at government reserve auctions, with officials offering another chunk of beans with zero buying interest. Traders are reporting the lack of interest is not necessarily indicative of a lacking demand, as the beans offered are said to be several crop years old and of questionable quality and difficult to access from a logistical standpoint, as they are far more expensive than imported supplies. And traders will continue to be watching for signs of further short covering. Wheat imports by Egypt, the world's largest buyer of the grain, are forecast to increase in the 2024 to 2025 marketing year, according to a report from USDA's office in Cairo. Imports will rise 2% to 11.22 million metric tons due to a growing population and availability to foreign currencies within the northern African country, according to the agency. A shortage of foreign money in Egypt is inadvertently affecting commodity supply chains, resulting in high inflation, according to the report. Also affecting grain trade in the region were geopolitical factors, including Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the Israel-Hamas conflict, and attacks on vessels in the Red Sea. There is an influx of $5 billion in foreign currency since March amid an agreement with the International Monetary Fund and an investment deal for $35 million with United Arab Emirates has increased access to foreign currencies, according to the agency. In the livestock markets, live cattle and feeder cattle diverged, with live cattle trading lower yesterday. Feeder cattle were higher. Cattle futures rebounded substantially from the lows earlier in the day. Hogs had a banner day with strong gains as packers remained aggressive. The anticipation of the trade is for cash to be steady this week, which will provide some confidence to traders to buy into the market. Box beef was higher, with choice up $1.47, select up 89 cents. Tomorrow is the final day to trade April feeder cattle. In weather notes here today, freeze warnings have been issued for parts of western Wisconsin, and frost advisories are in effect in eastern Minnesota this morning. Temperatures in the region have dropped as low as 27 degrees Fahrenheit overnight, according to the National Weather Service. That area will be dry throughout the day as relative humidity drops and wind speeds increase. The dry weather will stick around through tomorrow. In the southern plains, thunderstorms are forecast for today and tonight, with some potentially turning severe, according to the National Weather Service. There will be a daily chance of thunderstorms through Sunday, with a risk for severe weather. Large hail, damaging wind gusts, and tornadoes are all possible. On the Chicago Board of Trade, corn is trading higher. The front month soybean contract is trading lower. Soybean meal is trading higher. Soybean oil is trading lower. Chicago Board of Trade wheat is trading lower. Kansas City wheat and spring wheat are also both trading lower. On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle contracts are off to a lower start here today, with the feeder cattle contracts trading higher. Lean hogs are also trading higher. Crude oil is trading lower. Gold and silver are trading lower. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is trading lower. That is the Successful Farming Daily Podcast for this Wednesday, April 24th. I'm Lori Boyer. Read more about this and other agriculture news in a Three Big Things article on agriculture.com.